expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Good morning, Greenwich. It's 9:30 on this beautiful Wednesday, and that means it's time to talk with me, Jen Graziano. I'm the co-owner of Cox and Graziano Funeral Home, located at 134 Hamilton Avenue. And as part of my family's commitment to the community, I come to you every Wednesday, talking to people that matter, about things that matter, in a place that matters, right here in Greenwich. Good morning to our listeners on 1490 WGCH, and good morning, Facebook Live viewers. Happy to have you with us, and happy to be in the studio with my friends, Bob and Tim. So is there a doctor in the house? I believe there is. There's a doctor on the line. He is Dr. Ken Redcross. He is on the cover of the newest Coming of Age magazine, which hopefully you may have seen digitally. But if not, you can go online on Facebook and read it there or on issue.com. And shortly, there will be print copies available for you. But Dr. Redcross is somewhat of a pioneer in the field of concierge medicine. He has a boutique concierge practice right in Westchester County, just minutes away. And he discusses in depth in the magazine in an interview that I had with him the reasons why he chose the concierge route, what it means for his patients, what it means for his ability to practice medicine the way he believes he should be. And he will talk to us about that and several other things this morning. Good morning, Dr. Redcross. Are you on the line?
Good morning, Jen. Yes, I am here. So there is, in fact, a doctor in the house. Thank you for having
That's
me.
That's always great. That's always great. You always want a doctor nearby. A lawyer, not so much. A funeral director you can live without, but a doctor you want to have nearby.
So, there you go.
You're such a busy man. We're honored that you're talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
You travel the circuit. I mean, people could watch you on TV. You're often a guest panelist. You're often an expert that weighs in on Fox, CNN, Dr. Oz, but you're also an author. Tell us a bit about yourself, Dr. Redcross, and why you've chosen the route of concierge medicine.
Oh, well, thank you once again for having me on, Jen, because this is something that I'm so passionate about. So everyone, I started my concierge practice, gosh, many years ago, 2007 or so, and it was when, it was born out of the fact that I thought patients deserve more. And when I said that they deserve more, Jen, I meant more of my time, more focused care for them as well. And I couldn't do that in the typical model that, unfortunately, medicine kind of runs in, which is a little bit more about volume than it is value, I think. And so concierge medicine allows me to kind of put the focus on who matters most, which is everyone out there listening. And all of us are going to be patients at some point. And so that was important for me to put the focus back on them.
You know, you're absolutely right. Volume. I mean, waiting room times get longer and longer, but also the cost of doing business as a doctor has gone up exponentially, and it's somewhat cost prohibitive because of your insurance costs, your malpractice costs. So you see these doctors kind of abandon the solo practice model and join on to the larger groups. And not to discredit that, it's understandable, but those larger groups, again, often come with the price tag of less personalized care, less one-on-one, certainly less time in the office with the doctor. Do you certainly see that from your perspective, doctor?
You know, I do, and it's interesting. You're right. And this is not to put down the current model that works for some. Look, it works for me, Jen, because I'm the type of doctor. I don't mind getting a call at 2 a.m., and I don't mind making a house call. So it's not necessarily for every physician out there. But I'll tell you, I do know that there are some things that I find that are very valuable because of the type of practice. I'm able to provide access, convenience, and time. Give them time back in their schedules to kind of see them when it works best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that it allows me to do when I couldn't really do in that group practice, to your point of the multi-specialty group. It's such a challenge.
Absolutely. So on your website, which is drkenredcross.com, I do encourage everyone to take a look at the site because there's a great picture of you. And also, there's three different areas that your website touches upon: nutrition, spirituality, and movement. Dr. Redcross, I love this because the body is a whole, and you can't treat a part without affecting the other parts. It's a whole. So mind, body, soul, spirit, all work together. And you, as a medical doctor, really recognize that it's beyond just the Western medical assessments, the body is just a whole unit, and you seek to address all the different components with your patients. Looking at your nutrition tab first, can you share with our viewers and listeners your five New Year's resolution tips? We're still early enough in the year in March that if we've fallen off the wagon, we can get back on. Can you share your five nutrition tips?
You know what I'll do too, Jen? One of the other things that I'll mention, and thank you for bringing this up. Now, I think that the reason why I focused on nutrition, movement, and spirituality in particular, Jen, is because I found out that if any of these, one of these three are out of balance, if one of these three aren't right, then it makes it very difficult for us to stay well all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. So when it comes especially to the spirituality side of things, we all have our way that we kind of center ourselves, whether it be through religion, whether it be through meditation, breathing exercises. The point is it's important for us to make sure that we are centered. Over to movement, I thought it was important there, Jen, because for movement, we need to figure out what that is. My movement is a little bit different than maybe some of my 80-year-old patients. Their movement's going to be different, but it doesn't mean that it's less important as well. And nutrition was important to me there, Jen, because I just wanted to hit home the fact with everyone that it wasn't necessarily about prescriptions or anything along those lines. We can get better and get well without prescriptions, and thinking of things that I always say are kind of closer to the earth, Jen. You'll hear me say that time and time again, because it's really that important.
It's true. There's a lot of fad diets, and there's a lot of, you know, it seems that you're constantly hearing something new to try, but it's so simple. And I have so many experts on the show, including yourself, one a little bit later today as well, that you don't have to go that far to properly nourish your body. I have a guest on at 12 o'clock that will talk about fruit and how fruit is kind of all you need. And, you know, and it's amazing because, yes, we all know fruit is healthy, but I certainly did not know exactly how much it could sustain you or the benefits that it had. But getting back to your point, things that are found in the earth and closest to the earth are arguably the best things to put into our system. Getting back to this treating a person as a whole, you devote a lot of attention, doctor, to thanks, gratitude, thankfulness, random acts of kindness. Now, you're a doctor, so how is this going to help your patients in the physical realm?
Well, because one of the things we're realizing is that so much of that, whether it be on the emotional or spiritual side, so much of that actually leads to health and healing as well. I mean, think about this, Jen. Sometimes you'll see some of these studies, and you'll see that sometimes 10 to 15 to 20% of people get better with placebo alone. So
right.
That already is proof and of the mind and what we can do. And so when you have one of those random acts of kindness, one of those New Year's resolutions that we were talking about or that I'll mention, those random acts of kindness are healing, and not only healing for the person that you're giving them to, Jen, but they're also healing for the person that's giving them as well. So I'd love to make sure that we're always thinking about that sort of thing when you're thinking about health. Being kind to one another is so, so important.
You know, doctor, it's so true because things can eat you alive and eat up at you, eat away at you, I should say. If you're
Absolutely.
In conflict with someone, you know, the emotional stress has physical effects, headaches, tension in the body, stiffness, achiness, and you can let go of so much of that through conflict resolution and, again, random acts of kindness. You feel better. Everyone feels better when they know they've done something good. It's just a universal
exactly.
a universal effect. You can't not feel, and if you feel happy, your body feels good. It's kind of, they go hand in hand.
No, they really do. And you know, and even back to a couple of the other resolutions that we've already talked about, the exercise, I don't like people to feel pressure. Once again, when you feel pressure, Jen, it should be something that you enjoy doing. It's about fun. You know, I think
yes.
life has taken on such a different perspective now. We have so many different outlets. We have social media. We have all these different news circuits. We need to just kind of dial back. Look at exercise as something that's fun for you. So you don't have to necessarily run into the gym. You can do something at home, or you can just walk.
Or take a walk.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, warmer weather, just go for a walk. I think that that's something that, you know, again, you don't have to join a membership for that. And it's just something great to do. And sometimes just taking that walk just really helps to clear your mind. And there are so many different exercise options out there. There's so many classes, whether it be a yoga class or something more intense cardio. We happen to be in an area where there's just so many amazing programs offered. So there's got to be something that matches you, whether you're more hardcore fitness buff or you're just someone who wants movement and mobility. Do something. And I think it's, again, it's a wonderful, you really are looking to treat your patients as a whole person. Doctor, you do address vitamins and supplements. Can you talk to us a bit about your stance on that? Do you think it's important that we're taking them every day? If so, what? Go a little further with that, please.
Sure, guys. So one of the things we're recognizing is that our environment's different. Our soil is different. So some of the foods that we typically get that used to be rich in certain nutrients, whether it be minerals or vitamins, they aren't anymore. So there also are some other things that are important that we're also not getting, such as vitamin D. I talk a lot about vitamin D because we understand now in medicine how important vitamin D and how involved as a cofactor it is. And you can't get that much as far as with the sun. Everyone thinks, well, you go out in the sun, but you need to be outside for 20 minutes. Your skin, you can't burn, and half your body needs to be exposed. And our diet, Jen, is not particularly rich in natural vitamin D. So vitamin D is something that you typically want to consider supplementing. There's also magnesium. Magnesium is also important for so many different things for our muscles and also as a cofactor. And then something else, especially during this flu season that I talk with patients about, Jen, is a homeopathic remedy that's called oscillococcinum.
Yes.
Now, it helps as far as with fevers, chills, body aches, those things that we're getting right now, even though everyone thinks that we're in March, Jen, and we're done with the flu. But I'm here to tell you, don't give up yet. No.
Yes, no.
It's not until May.
In my daughter's school, there was like 4 notices from the nurse sent home yesterday of kids in different grades who have been tested positive for the flu. And I actually was thinking exactly what you just said. Aren't we out of the woods? It's late March. You know, the weather should be changing, although I would have believed it was January the other day.
Right.
So you have seen, is it a new strain of flu, or did we just not get rid of the strain that plagued us for the winter?
You know what? At the beginning of the season, everyone, it was the H1N1 strain, and that is a strain that it tends to be a little bit weaker when we see it. And so this year's flu season, while it still has been active, wasn't like last year. Now, what's happening is that we are getting a little bit of a shift to the H3N2 strain. Now, that's the aggressive strain that we had at the end of last year, which wreaked havoc, especially, unfortunately, on our children. So that's why I say we are not out of the woods yet. We have it probably about a month and a half or so when we still need to make sure that we're vigilant.
Okay, good advice. Shifting back, Doctor, you were talking about vitamin D, and it's funny. There's always a catch. You know, there's such a caution to be out in the sun and sunscreens and sunblocks,
right,
but yet you really need that direct exposure, but it has to be that balancing act of, you know, get just enough and be good with that. But what are some foods that are rich in vitamin D that could also help bolster a person's vitamin D levels?
Well, see, therein lies a little bit of the problem, Jen, because the things that are typical, everyone will first say, well, I can get milk, I get my vitamin D. But, Jen, milk is fortified with vitamin D, meaning that it's added. It's not something that's typically in there and enough. And when you do look at the vitamin D that you get in milk, it's not enough. The other things as far as some of the foods, I mean, there's fatty fish livers, and that was the whole reason, Jen, and I'll show my age here, but I remember when my grandmother would give you cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole purpose of that. It's loaded with vitamin D. It's a natural way to get it. And so we here in the United States probably aren't getting as much of the natural vitamin D, especially when you're talking cod liver oil these days and so forth. But there's not a lot of foods that are naturally rich in vitamin D. And so that's why I say it's something that, you know, you really want to consider supplementing.
Gotcha. Dr. Ken Redcross, you really go back to basics and you talk about the 8 glasses of water a day. I am so terrible with that. And, but it's so important. Hydration is so important, but give us your medical reason for that.
Well, because, look, it's interesting. So whenever you look at a lot of these unfortunate situations, when there's malnourishment or when there's these problems, you can live a lot longer without food than you can water, because our body is 60% water, and it's important for so many things, not only obviously just for our heart to function properly, but you're talking going up higher to the brain to make sure that your brain is perfectly perfused, and also lower down to your kidneys to make sure that, once again, you're getting all of the nutrients that you need to the rest of your body. And so hydration is something that, you know, as a kid, you're right. We used to always have that, like, get your 8 ounces of water, 8 glasses of water each and every day. But it's something you're not seeing so much of anymore. But now it looks as if there's a little bit of a movement. You see electrolyte beverages that don't have so much sugar and so forth actually coming to the forefront also, Jen. So I think we as a culture are starting to recognize it's not, you know, it's not something that we can avoid or ignore any longer.
What about just the plain water itself that's electrolyte infused? Is that a lot of hype, or is that a real thing?
You know, that's a good question. Actually, look, there's nothing better than good old garden variety water. Now, I'll say this. For those who are workout enthusiasts and that sort of thing, I'm not a fan of the sugary beverages for the obvious reasons. Too much sugar, high fructose corn syrup. So they make some wonderful beverages out there now. Water, or I should say actually sports beverages that have the sodium, the potassium, the magnesium, those things that you need to replenish after a good exercise. I know there's a lot of question, too, about alkaline water and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Jen, I don't know about that. I don't know if the jury's a little bit out. Some people, Jen, some of my patients will swear by it. And then, like I said, sometimes the science is a little back and forth. But once again, I'm just happy that people are thinking hydration, and we can have that discussion as to whether that's a better way to do it or not.
Gotcha. You also talk about reading as having many, many, many benefits, health benefits as well. And it's part of your, you know, the New Year's resolutions that you offer to read every day. Can you talk a bit about the health benefits for reading? Is it just benefits on the mind, or is it a calm, relaxing effect on the body?
You know, it's funny you said that. It's all of the above. And the other thing, too, it's funny. Even for me, Jen, I need to make sure that when I'm reading, I'm not always just reading medical stuff, right? I need
right.
to kind of turn my brain off as well. So
right.
for me, I love Spanish. And so that's relaxing for me and calming and allows me to kind of unplug for the day. So don't think about reading as something that you have to go with something in mind, that you have to check something off your list, your to-do list. I want it to be just the opposite, Jen. I don't want it to be a to-do list item.
Exactly.
I want it to
do you want to-do list. That's a different
exactly.
list.
Exactly. I like that.
You are a member of a scientific advisory council, Organic and Natural. You're a speaker at the Healing Summit. You do so much. Can you speak to us a bit about organic products? What constitutes an organic certification? And is that something that we should be looking for when we purchase fruits, vegetables, produce? Can you talk about organic?
Absolutely, Jen. So that is incredibly important, everyone. So to your point, Jen, I'm on the Scientific Advisory Board for the Organic and Natural Health Association. Now, this is an association that really does a lot of important lobbying to make sure that the things that we get are, in fact, organic, things that don't have pesticides. In fact, there was a story in the news today talking about some of the vegetables that we eat each and every day that we think are healthy, kale being number one. Broccoli, some of the other vegetables being loaded with pesticides. And so these are the things that the Organic and Natural Health Association tries to help us pinpoint. They focus on vitamin D. They focus on magnesium soon. There's a big awareness campaign that's coming with that. So when you're looking at those organic designations, yeah, they're actually very important to figure out when you can get those sort of things in your body, because you can be very comfortable and confident that they've been sort of vetted, in a sense, Jen, to make sure that they're healthy for us to consume, and especially when you have kids at home like myself.
So your range of knowledge is just endless, and you touch upon so many subjects, but I want to briefly speak upon this one. You were a guest on the Nancy Grace Show, Doctor, mm-hmm. where you discussed the subject of deadly mold. There was an issue with a mother who discovered this mold in a child's room. Can you talk about mold and raising awareness to uncovering mold, removal of mold, and preventing mold from building up?
Yeah, and that was a very interesting case there, because, you know, and it's interesting as well, Jim, because we're in New York, and in New York there's a lot of old buildings, especially in the city, and it's something that you typically see in your office. The way it typically goes, you have a patient or a young child who has asthma. They come in, no matter what you're doing, Jen, they're not getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make a house call, and then you'll say, oh my gosh, you'll look and you'll really go to their pipes. You'll see the mold over there at the pipes or in their bathrooms and the mildew, and you really recognize that, hey, this is an environmental issue here.
Right.
So when you're thinking you're having, shortness of breath or chest pain, or you feel like a disease state like asthma or COPD is worsening, you have to think about mold. You have to also have the doctor, there are some tests and so forth that can be done. They're not the routine tests that you typically do in your office. You have to send them out. But once again, it's important that we don't necessarily just think that that's something that's in the patient's head. I've had so many patients, Jen, that are frustrated because they'll know they have mold in their home, or they did some work on their home and now their respiratory symptoms are worse. So it is important to go there and make sure that you're wiping down with pneumonia and those antiseptics that are able to actually kill those, to
Absolutely.
Kill that particular mold, because molds are a big thing.
And again, they're easy to come by because water and dampness can readily
Right.
seep into your home. I mean, we could have a flood or a storm, and, you know, older homes have drainage issues. So, again, you can understand the cause of it, but it must be tend to, because there can be so many ill effects on your health. I want to talk, you are an author. Can you tell us the title of your books, a little bit about them, and where viewers and listeners can purchase copies?
Oh, sure. So, the name of my book is called Bond. And the reason why, everyone, because it's about the importance of the bond to each and every one of you as a doctor, and actually I should say patient-doctor relationship. And it was one of those things that I was able to kind of pinpoint those things that I thought were important for that relationship. And I thought it was trust, respect, empathy, and communication. And I felt that if any one of those cornerstones kind of fell, that's where the problem was between the physician and the doctor at the time. I mean, I've had patients who will come to me maybe from seeing a specialist, Jen, and they're a little hurt because they didn't feel the empathy.
Right.
They didn't feel the empathy that the physician cared about the fact that I'm a little nervous. I have a breast mask, and I don't know where to go from here. And so that's where that relationship can falter. Also, communication. When I'm talking to a patient, I don't necessarily say, you know, we're talking about the ventricular septum, and they say, well, what are those, doc? You know, you need to make sure you're communicating properly as well. And so these are things that I think are things that are fun to talk back and forth with your physician and the patient to see if those four cornerstones are there to be able to really improve and build that relationship.
You know, bedside manner is so important,
right,
doctor, and it goes a long way. You need, you know, it is, you're putting your life in your doctor's hands. So you need the utmost level of comfort and trust. And part of that is experience is just a warm and friendly face or someone who has
yeah.
that empathy. You know, I even say it in my line of work. There's anybody who can go through the licensure to do what I do. But at the end of the day, when you're sitting with someone who's lost a loved one and you're connecting with them and you're just understanding where they're coming from and the pain, you take it to a different level. And
yeah.
it's not transactional anymore. It's not business. It's you're developing this bond with the person sitting across from you. So your book is so well titled. I love the name, Bond. Available, I'm sure, local bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Right.
You can learn more about Dr. Red Cross. I really do encourage everyone listening and watching today to go to drkenredcross.com. It's just drkenredcross, redcross.com. You know, you also talk on the part of your website that speaks about bond, you really get some people thinking about some great questions. Have you ever wanted to ask your doctor a question, but you didn't because you felt uncomfortable? You felt like you couldn't. Or I'm sure for so many people, they leave the doctor's office, get in the car, and realize, oh no, I meant to ask him this or that.
All the time.
And good luck calling back, because then you're going to get the doctor's assistant or the automated service, you know, where the call center is God knows where.
Right.
Good luck with that. But I'm sure you have seen this firsthand.
It's
inspired you to be different, to separate yourself from the masses, and to write this book. So in Bond, are you offering, you know, is it more for the patient to give them the tools they need to better communicate with their doctor? Or would you say the book is more of a wake-up call to your colleagues to devote more energy and empathy to a patient?
Well, you know what, Jen? It's a little bit of both. I mean, look, first, it was really directed to patients initially or primarily. And the reason why is because I wanted them to think about those four cornerstones and figure out which one of those cornerstones are most important for them. And why it may be the reason why their doctor is awesome or why the doctor they have now is not quite what they want. But I do have a little section that I kind of call behind the curtain, and that's just where I speak directly to my colleagues and say, what do you think about this? Will this work for you? It's not to necessarily beat it into them, because we're all created differently as far as what it is we provide for patients. But I just share some things that I think have kind of worked for me and patients and hopefully kept patients happy. So I do have a little bit there for my colleagues to see what works for them. But a lot of it is really for the patient to really kind of dig deep and find that doctor that they really want in their life.
Moving towards the end of our time together, once again, I want to mention you are on the cover of Coming of Age magazine. I thank you for that, for lending your voice to that project. We hope everyone will read your article and learn more about you. Do you find that more physicians will shift to this concierge model in the coming years, doctor?
You know, I do, Jen. I think, I think physicians, and a lot just like myself, they want to have time with patients as well. It's not like they don't want to. I just think they need to figure out if the model works for them, for their lifestyle, and once again, if it completes them like it does me each and every day. And so I think that's the big thing.
Dr. Ken Redcross, drkenredcross.com. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. I'm sure your message resonated with many. And this is Jen Graziano thanking you for taking the time to listen as we took the time to talk. Have a great day, Greenwich. Bye-bye.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
For Brexit delay, I'm John Trout. President Trump is returning to Ohio, the state that foretold his 2016 victory, as GOP re-election efforts continue.
The president will talk up a 5% increase in defense spending that's a centerpiece of his budget proposal in western Ohio at a military installation and the Lima Army tank plant right between Cincinnati.